qualities, our national mood, our passions, our frailties, and our glories have been played out on the stages of our opera houses. I'm Roderick Williams, a singer, and I've chosen 10 operas which tell a revealing story about who we are, beginning in the 17th century, where music and spectacle were an essential tool for royal spin doctors. Join me for Britain in 10 Operas, starting on Wednesday morning at 9 on BBC Sounds and Radio 4.
Now, Radio 4, another classic edition of Just a Minute from the Archive, hosted by Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you, thank you. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, and to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers, and they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Ross Noble, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Fern Britton. Will you please welcome all four of them? Heidi, Kayleigh Sterling, she's going to help me with the score. She'll run the stopwatch and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And Fern, we're with you to begin the show this week with The Early Bird. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I used to be the early bird. A long time ago, I worked on BBC Breakfast Time. I'd have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which was a ghastly time of day, and I would sit in the bath and cry because I had a horrible boss and I didn't want to go in to see him. But within 20 minutes, I would have pulled myself together, got myself out of the thing with water in, and jumped into the taxi that was waiting for me. When I got to work, everybody was there as well, yawning and half asleep. And I'm making my
Bless you.
There was a bit of hesitation.
Yes, Giles, don't be kind. It's true.
Giles, that is a correct challenge. There are still 31 seconds available. Ooh. The early bird starting now.
I'm very blessed in that I live adjacent to the Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust in southwest London at a place called Barnes, and therefore an early bird greets me every day. Actually, it's a screamer, which is the name of a bird that comes from South America. A quiet plumage of a greyish kind, and yet a voice like a corncrake. The cry of this early bird disturbs my sweet slumbers. There I am lying, dreaming, it must be said, of Fern Britton in her glory days when she presented me.
What's your challenge?
It was borderline sexual harassment.
You know. Also, I didn't like you saying it was my glory days because I am in my
I thought that was very ungallant.
Yes. Yeah. So it's offence.
So, Ross, we love the interruption, oh, but have you a challenge?
Deviation from all BBC HR regulations.
That's a point to you, Ross, and you take over the subject because there's only 1 second to go.
Oh, I can't believe it. Oh.
The early bird starting now.
The early bird is a.
So Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went, gains an extra point. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. Giles, the subject is what we do always at the beginning of any show, warming up. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Warming up. How now, brown cow? Moo! Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. These are just two of the vocal exercises I perform when warming up. I don't have a exercise class to go to. I have a personal trainer, a young Latvian girl I met in a nail bar in King's Cross, and she has introduced me to the most extraordinary warming up physical exercises. We begin with the head, turning the neck and twisting it most sensually and excitingly. Then we go to the shoulders. Up they go and back and down. On then to the stomach. Pulled in and then let loose. Then onto the lower limbs. And how exciting it is.
Ross, challenge.
Repetition of then on to.
Then on to, yes.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
That was a challenge just in time as well.
Anyway, you had a correct challenge, Ross, so you get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject, and there are 11 seconds available. Warming up is the subject, starting now.
Warming up is something that a studio audience needs to have done to them when a television programme is made. People don't like to admit it in the industry, but they have a warm-up man who is...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Ross Noble. And Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject now is the bush. Tell us something about...
Come on.
Please.
You're better than that.
This is radio. This is Radio 4.
The bush, Paul. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
I've been trailing the giant kangaroo for about 15 months. First of all, he hitched up in a hotel in Sydney, disguised as a boot boy. But I knew his real trick. As he headed for the bush that night, I realised that he had many different disguises. One of them was Helen Shapiro, the
Was he by any chance hopping back to happiness?
Yes. Helen Shapiro.
Charles, you challenge first.
It was hesitation brought on by an apoplexy.
Brought on by Helen Shapiro.
Yeah. A great challenge, Charles. There are still 42 seconds available. The bush, starting now.
The bush I reverence most is George W., who always said the trouble with the French is they don't have a word for entrepreneur. Other members of the Bush clan that I admire include Kate Bush and the foxy one known as Basil Bush.
Oh, Fern Challenge.
Well, Basil Bush, they doesn't Basil exist. Brush. Who's it, Basil Bush? It's Basil Brush.
Basil Bush is Kate Bush's younger brother.
No, he's not.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. He went to Australia, hence the Basil.
I'm going to be on your side.
Thank you.
Because you haven't played the game much before.
No.
And
hardly playing
it now. He did mean Basil Brush.
Okay.
He's wriggling out of
yes.
it there.
Yes, he did, yes. didn't he? Yes.
So, Fern, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject. 24 seconds, the bush, starting now.
The bush I'm thinking about now is one that is a box and it has a blight on it. And this beautiful bush I have topiarized into something incredible. It now is a kettle, and in the wind it blows and tips as if it's pouring out hot water. Now, this bush, as I said, is got an illness. It's spread by tiny little spiders that spin their webs and poison...
So Fern Britton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And she's moved forward. She's in third place, ahead of Paul Merton, but just behind Giles Brandreth, and Ross Noble still in the lead. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. Can you tell us something about Beyoncé, which is the subject on the card? Starting now.
As it happens, I can tell you a great deal about Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter because I'm familiar with her. She had a difficult relationship with her own father, and when we met, she immediately recognized me as a dad substitute. Jay-Z himself welcomed me into the bosom of their family, and we now get on famously. By the time this program is broadcast, she will probably have had the twins that she has been expecting since February, and I'm proud to tell you.
Ross Challenge.
Twins, repetition of baby.
I think it's only fair to give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. But Giles, you were interrupted, so you've still got the subject. 32 seconds for Beyoncé, starting now.
Beyoncé said to me that her child will indeed be Destiny's little tot. And
well, that's deviation because it's children.
Yeah. Mentioned twins. You saw that one child.
One child. Yeah. What's happened to the other one?
Yeah. Mm.
They come out one at a time. One's going to be a boy named after me, and the other one is going to be a girl. The name has not yet been decided. As I would have explained, I'm pitching for it to be called Fern.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. Right. I think your challenge was correct, Ross.
Thanks.
And you have... twins. Well, twins and one child. Ross, 27 seconds available. Tell us something about Beyoncé starting now.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. That is one of the things that Beyoncé said. She was actually at an agricultural show. At the time, she had a prize bull and she was encouraging people to lead it away. But unfortunately, there was nowhere to put a tether. So she invited the farmers up to the bovine creature and they took it away as Jay-Z was...
So Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went and he's leapt forward, he's increased his lead at the end of the round. He's way ahead of Giles Brand with Fern Britton and Paul Merton in that order. And Fern, we're with you to begin. Oh. And the subject is now the Himalayas. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The Himalayas is, of course, a famous mountain range somewhere in Tibet. But the Himalayas I'm thinking about is a boarding house on the southwest coast of Cornwall. It's called the Himalayas because it's tall and narrow and has several floors of bedrooms going up and up. It was built in the... Yes, sirree. Who was that?
It was Giles.
Up and up.
Yes,
up and...
yes.
So, Giles, you've gone in first. There's still 43 seconds. Will you tell us something about the Himalayas in this game, if you can, starting now?
Indeed, when Beyoncé and I went mountain trekking in the Himalayas, it was an extraordinary trip because we discovered the Yeti. In the Himalayas, the most extraordinary creature is this abominable snowman, who you will encounter if you go really high up into the mountain range, breathing deeply, feeling the extraordinary ozone and the magic of the Himalayas. There you expect to see extraordinary film stars.
Repetition of extraordinary, I believe.
Yeah. Fern, you've got 16 seconds if you want it. The Himalayas starting now.
The Himalayas.
Paul, you got in first.
Yeah, I just wasn't ready.
A bit of a hesitation, I think.
Sorry, I just wasn't ready. My mind was on
other
things.
Paul, you got him with 14 seconds ago. Tell us something about the Himalayas starting now.
The sardines lived next door, and on the other side was the Himalayas. There was Tommy Himalayas, Sarah Himalayas, and various people like that. The mountains themselves are magnificent. Once you've climbed up the first peak, you look towards the others and you say to yourself, I am...
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went. He's caught up with Fern Britton. They're both training Giles Brandreth and he's training Ross Noble in that sequence. And Ross, we're back with you to begin. The subject now, Dutch courage. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The finest display of Dutch courage was the little boy who put his finger in the dike. It was leaking and he approached it and luckily he had very, very fowlery, very idiot, very, very... Come on, Noble, lift your... Go on.
Giles, you challenge first.
Repetition.
Very, very. Yes. Dutch courage is with you, Giles. 49 seconds, starting now.
Dutch courage is one of those expressions like going Dutch, double Dutch, Dutch uncle, that dates from our Anglo-Dutch wars of the 17th century. We turned against these Dutch people and made rude jokes about them, and it transformed our language. When William of Orange came over, all that began to change.
Poor chance.
The grammar disappeared a bit. All that begin to change. Ah. William Orange came before me. Ah. It all went a bit piratical. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but was it a hesitation or deviation?
Well, it was a deviation from the English as it had spoken.
No, I think it was a hesitation, but
yeah,
it's not
absolutely.
That. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
OK, thank you.
And I'll try and redress the balance if I can.
That's
later.
That's very kind of you, Nicholas.
So a point to Paul. 28 seconds still available, Paul. Dutch courage starting now.
On the outskirts of Amsterdam, I tracked the kangaroo down. He had many guises. One of them was as a Dutch seaman. He no longer appeared as Helen Shapiro. Instead, he created this character where he had the courage of a lion, the deception of a gazelle, and the sheer chutzpah of a buffalo. He was an animal that I could love. Indeed, I did marry for several years, and we lived very happily in the Norfolk Broads. But do you know how long is this on the talking ball here? That was how long was that for?
And so you will get a point for speaking as the whistle went. And let's see, what is the score at the end of that round? So, Paul, you've let Paul. We're just ahead of Fern Britton and just a little bit behind Giles Brandreth and Ross Noble. And that, Paul, we're back with you to begin.
Yes.
The subject now is picnics. Tell us something about picnics in this game, starting now.
Perhaps one of those things that's better in the concept rather than the actual practice. It seems to me that when we went on picnics as a child, wasps, ants, other flying insects would come towards you and invade your space, dip into the fruit salad if we were lucky to...
Charles.
Wasps, insects. Mm. Wasps, what was the other one? The
I don't know,
one
you tell
mentioned.
Me.
Flying ants.
Insects. Oh, they do fly, do they?
They do. There is a day in the year when all ants...
So what's your challenge?
My challenge was that he mentioned flying animals and ants don't fly, but Fern, who is a countrywoman, has explained to me that there is one day in the year where apparently one ant was once seen flying.
There is a day in the year when all the ants... grow wings and fly around a bit. But it's true.
It's true.
I saw one on a flight.
Truth. Thank
He's
you.
He's trying to struggle out of it.
Yes, he did.
And I saw one on a flight to Glasgow once.
Yes.
Charles, your incorrect challenge. Paul, you were speaking.
Yes.
You've still got picnics.
Yes.
48 seconds.
48 seconds.
Picnics is with you still starting now.
You put together the hamper. There's the champagne glasses, perhaps bottles of the particular liquid I've just mentioned, all lying around neatly. But when you get to your location, it's always not as good as you thought it was going to be. Somehow eating indoors or consuming outdoors is a very nice...
Ross Chalmers.
Repetition of outdoors.
Did I say outdoors
no,
before?
No, it's indoors and outdoors. They're one word. Indoors is one word, and outdoors is another word.
No, I thought... No, he said outdoors before, didn't
he? I might have said outdoors before.
Ah, yes, of course, right at the beginning, of course. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So I'm sorry.
Well, thank you for reminding me. Right. Ross, the correct challenge. 30 seconds available on picnics starting now.
If you go down to the woods today, that's the start of the teddy bear's picnic. I think that would be a horrific thing to see. The teddy... Oh, teddy God, it's because Giles is looking at me. As soon as I said teddy bears, I felt his eyes burning into my soul. As soon as I said it, I went, that's going to...
I feel quite protective about teddy bears.
Yeah.
I know you do.
He repeated teddy.
Right, 21 seconds. A correct challenge, Giles. Picnics are starting now.
I want to tell you about one of the greatest picnics ever, when Beyoncé, Miley Cyrus, Fern Britton and I got together on the special day of the year when ants fly.
Fern Britton challenge.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we can... We can all dream. And I know you've been in therapy since trying to wipe it from your memory, but it was a marvellous, marvellous day.
Was it?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't recall it.
No, I know.
No, because he was deviating.
He was. Yes, that's right.
Fern, you have a correct challenge. And you have 12 seconds, if you want it, on picnics starting now.
I had it and I couldn't remember his name. I was going to have a lovely old chat there about Boo Boo and Yogi Bear and Mr. Ranger.
Giles, you're sitting next to her.
Well, it was hesitation because her conscience overcame her.
I will give you a point for a correct challenge.
Thank you.
But Fern's only played the game once before.
Yes.
So I'm going to give
That's
it a
That's not how it seemed to me on that picnic, I can tell you.
Thank you.
11 seconds. Picnics starting now.
The most romantic picnic I was ever taken on was many years ago when I was only 17. And my boyfriend at the time packed a picnic in his car and drove us down to the river.
So Fern Britton was in, speak of the whistle, win, gained that extra point, and she's moved forward. She's still in fourth place, but she has moved. No, she's only 1 point behind Paul Merton. She's 3 or 4 points behind Giles Brandreth, who's 1 point behind our leader, who is still Ross Noble. And Giles, we're back with you to begin, and the subject now is Over the Moon. Tell us something about that phrase in this game, starting now.
When Nicholas's wife told me she was leaving him to shack up with me, I was over the moon. Until my own darling nudged me in the ribs and said, you are dreaming again. No one is going to abandon Parsons.
Wait, was it repetition of Parsons?
No, Nicholas first time, Parsons second.
Nicholas.
Oh, of course it was right, yeah.
Well, well tried, but it's an incorrect challenge. Giles has another point, and he has the subject Over the Moon starting now.
Hey, Diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. This expression, over the moon, is as ancient as the nursery rhyme and goes back almost 1,000 years. There is a reference to it in the works of Geoffrey Chaucer, and later we find Shakespeare uses this phrase in 3 separate plays, one a comedy, another a tragedy, and then a history drama. Over the Moon is a beautiful trilogy of letters that creates magic and a sense of excitement. Over the Moon, one would be.
Poor challenge.
Over the Moon is a trilogy of letters.
Yes.
What is it? Well, it's possibly a trilogy of words, but even now I wouldn't say it was a trilogy because a trilogy would assume that there was a connection.
You're right there, it's a trilogy of words.
Yes.
Three words, not letters.
I was referring to the correspondence in which this was contained.
Well tried, Giles.
Well, you've got three letters.
Yeah. Stamped during different reigns.
Well tried, Giles. They all try hard. But, Paul, correct challenge. 15 seconds still available. Oh. You have another point, and you have Over the Moon starting now.
Unfortunately, Apollo 8 had too much fuel on board, went past the moon and had to come back again. This was not known at the time because they kept it quiet. On the dark side of the moon, Pink Floyd produced this magnificent album.
Fern challenge.
Well, that's deviation. That's talking about the dark side of the moon
absolutely.
Now, rather than the over the moon.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
A point to you, Fern, for a correct challenge.
Yes.
Over the Moon, and there are only 4 seconds available.
Oh, dear.
Starting now.
Over the Moon was what I felt when I
was... Deviation.
No.
No. She started straight away. That was the deviation. You get it differently.
Well, I like to keep you on your toes. You never know.
I enjoyed that interruption. But, Fern, you weren't interrupted. You get another point.
Jolly D.
And you have 3 seconds to go. Over the Moon is starting now.
Over the Moon is a wonderful book that I read to my children when they were small.
So, at the end of that round, it's all very equal. Fern Britton's doing very well. She's equal in third place. No, in second place with Paul Merton, because in the lead equal are Giles Brandreth and Ross Noble.
Oh.
And only 2 points separate, all of them. Oh. Right. And Fern, we're with you to begin now.
No.
And the subject is tissues. Tell us something about tissues in just a minute, starting now.
Tissues are very, very... Oops.
Can always be the slogan. They're very, very.
Yeah. Ross.
Well, she's nicking my axe. She's just seeing the same words over and over again.
He's the king of repetition.
Exactly.
I said he's the king of repetition.
How dare you?
So, Ross, great challenge. Very, very. There are 57 seconds on tissues with you starting now.
Tissues can come in man size. They don't do women size because that would be.
Paul, challenge.
Oh, I don't know. Man size and size, women's size.
It's hyphenated, so we give you the benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt to Ross.
To you.
Oh, to me?
Okay. Yeah,
to
I think so.
Oh, we did Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah.
To you.
So, Paul, correct challenge. 51 seconds still available. Tell us something about tissues starting now.
As I looked up at the sodden eyes of my Labrador, I realised that what the two of us had been together, no tissue could ever eradicate. We'd been stuck on a raft just off the coast of Wolverhampton when we realised that the monsoon...
A Giles challenge.
We had a very bad map.
Paul anticipated my challenge, which was deviation from the laws of geography. Wolverhampton, at any stage in the history of this island, has never been on the coast.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, we've cleared that up then.
So, Giles, a point to you and 38 seconds available. Tissues are starting now.
A tissue, we all fall down. A quintet of words that dates back 1,000 years. Tissues were not invented at the time of King Richard III, but that is when the expression originated. Tissues, as far as I'm concerned, are enormously useful because I am somewhat labile. When confronted with a moment when one is not doing as well as one would hope in just a minute.
Ross, challenge.
As one would hope.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ross. Oh, correct challenge. Good. 13 seconds are still available. Tell us something about tissues starting now.
Sneezing an enormous explosive snot out of the front of your face can sometimes send your entire head flying backwards as if you were going at Mach 45 in a rocket propelled.
And we are just moving into the final round. I'll give you the situation. It's very close. Fern Britton, who's never... Oh, she's only played the game once before. She's trailing just only in fourth place, one behind Paul Merton, who is two behind Giles Brandreth, and he's one behind Ross Noble, who's still in the lead. And it is Ross's turn to begin. And the subject now, Thomas Edison. Silence. An ominous silence in the audience. 60 seconds, Ross, if you need it, Starting now.
There is a story that Thomas Edison once electrocuted an elephant. This is totally and utterly incorrect. He did, however, own a film company which would send out crews to do documentaries of unusual events. In Coney Island, there was one of these majestic beasts which had been very, very...
You were trying to avoid the elephant in the room.
What is wrong with me tonight?
I think you're a bit thick.
Rossi gives us great fun. We enjoy it. But Paul, you challenge first.
Yes.
Very, right. Yes, 33 seconds yes. available.
Sorry, how many?
33.
Thank you.
Tell us something about Thomas Edison, starting now.
He claimed to invent a lot of inventions. Actually, weren't invented by him.
Olivier Giles, challenge.
Repetition of invented.
He claimed lots of inventions.
He claimed to have invented a lot of things which were actually not invented.
Oh, did I say invented twice?
Invented twice. The word invented was repeated. Oh, repetition.
No.
A lot of inventions.
No, he said he claimed to have invented a lot of inventions which weren't invented.
Order.
Inventions invented.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, listen, John.
He claimed to have invented inventions that he hadn't invented. Yeah.
No. Is anybody recording this?
I heard that.
He did repeat invented. You're quite right, Giles. Well, listen. 29 seconds. Thomas Edison with you, starting now.
The Edisons lived alongside the bushes and near the sardines. It was a curious road. Thomas, or Tommy, as I thought of him.
Paul Charles.
Well, I just think this is a bogus speech. I think he's got this subject under false pretenses. And I really have no interest in what he has to say on the matter. Especially when the sardine family turned up.
So have you a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No, just reflections on life, really.
Give them a bonus point, because we enjoyed that. Giles, you were interrupted, you get a point, and you have 21 seconds. Thomas Edison, starting now.
The great Thomas Edison is credited with 1,093 patents at the United States office that looks after that kind of thing. The most unusual of which, believe it or not, is the rubber that goes on the end of a pencil. He inaugurated this towards the end of his career when he was trying to break records as having been the person who'd created more novelties in our time.
So, Giles Brandreth then, speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point, and I will give you the final score. Fern Britton, who's only played once before, came in a very fine fourth place, which
yes.
she was
oh,
very
yes.
good, very good. You were only two or three points behind Paul Merton. And only 2 points ahead was Ross Noble, and only 1 point ahead of him was Giles Brandreth. They all gave such value, but as you have one more point than anybody else, Giles, we'll say you are the winner this week. Only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Ross Noble, Fern Britton, and Giles Brandreth. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. She blows her whistle with such delicacy. We thank our producer, Matt Strong. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here. From them, lovely audience, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. And tune in again at the same time when we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Sheila Hancock will be among those talking to the stopwatch. On Thursday at 6:30...
Mark Steele is on his travels. If a-